Today we finished up to step five. In the big book, and then I was going to cover, carry this message, step five. And when I was doing that, I read the inventory information on step four, and it's so good that I decided that we would do it here. I don't think we can spend enough time understanding how I inventory my thinking, because isn't that what we do every day in step 10, right? And we pause when agitated or doubtful, and we recognize when we're separated from God. We covered the first, we covered to page 75, but I want you to look at the chart on page 73, the manifestations of self, because this is what we're going to be talking about today. And I just want to look at it for those listening to the podcast. If you get on the site, experienceabigbook.org, and you go to resources to recovery, there's a chart. This chart is what makes up self. And the reason this chart is so important, it's for me, is because this is my alcoholism in a chart. This is what my alcoholism is. Now, you don't even see alcohol on this chart. But the manifestations of self, we all have three instincts, and we're going to talk about it today: the social, security, and sex instinct. That's how human beings are made. We're made that way so that we survive. Animals have instincts. You see it in nature all the time. These are our instincts. They're God-given, and they're not bad. They become a problem when I'm running the world and I decide how I want my instincts satisfied, not how God wants me to satisfy them. And when I decide how I want to satisfy them, I get threatened by people, places, and things. And so if I decide what I need in my social instinct to, quote, be happy, then I'm setting myself up for resentment, or I'll be afraid I'm not getting it, or I'll harm people who are blocking me from getting it. And the same with my security instinct. If I decide what I need materially, emotionally, my ambitions, anybody threatens it, they're in trouble, because I get angry, I get afraid of them, and then I can harm them. The same with my sex instinct. There's nothing wrong with my sex instinct except if I use it selfishly, and then I can harm others. And so this chart is really important, and this, the solution of alcoholism is to replace self, put an X in it, and put God. So if you have a pen, X out self and put God in. And the wrongs from self are what we inventory in our inventory of our wrongs. So people are wondering, what's our wrongs? Our wrongs are resentment, fear, and harms. It's wrong to be angry, it's wrong to be fearful, and it's wrong to harm. We're going to go into it in detail when we read, but I just will give you an overview. And then the exact nature of my wrongs is what causes me to have resentments, fears, and harms. So when I'm threatened in self, I get angry, fearful, and harm people. And then when I'm in self, I have character defects to satisfy my instincts of life, and they're the exact nature. So I thought I'd just review that. It's important. And we do that every day. And you know how we know when we're putting ourselves here? We don't feel good. We're angry. We're fearful. We're judging. People are bothering us. Anybody get bothered anymore? Well, if you are, you're running the show. On page 75, he starts these instructions. And this is written actually as a sponsee. So as a sponsee or a sponsor, you could use this to help somebody go through the four step. Who or what am I resentful toward? Now, I met people who have no resentments. They sit there, they're honest, they could probably take a lie detector test. But of course, they're alcoholics. So how can that be? They're 7 days sober, they have no resentment. Because they don't recognize it. And who bothered you your whole life? Go back to your childhood. Did anything bother you? Any people? Any teachers, any other students, family members, your whole life, when you went to college, when you worked, people bother you, that you judge them, or you got afraid of them, or you were angry at them, and you can get a pretty good list if you're an alcoholic. You got to start from somewhere. I usually tell people to carry a card around and write down the names, and it's amazing how they will come. Then the second column is, what did they do to make me resentful? What did I think they did? Because a lot of times it's not true. Then the third column is, which of my natural God-given instincts was threatened? Now, if you're threatened, that means you're afraid, right? So fear is behind all of your anger. And fear dominates our lives. Mark, can you hand me one of those, please? And then the fourth column is the exact nature of our wrongs. And the fourth column, the way I look at it, is, what did I do to cause the resentment? You know, I screamed and yelled at these people, so they didn't want me to come to work anymore. So I was angry at them because they didn't come to work me anymore, but I forgot that I screamed and yelled at them. You see, we're very convenient in blaming others. And so the exact nature of my wrongs is the, where was I selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, afraid, or self-seeking? So that's a little overview. So we'll go to page, and then this review of resentments is how you can line it up on your notebook when you're doing it. And then he says we should look at one thing at a time. This is how they say, do one column, do all your resentments first, make a list of them. And the reason to do that is so that we can see how much anger we had. And I usually tell people to stop at 25 to 50, get the big ones out of the way, and then after a while, they're almost all the same. The same character defects, the same threatens, same things that threaten. So I wrote, whomever has ever bothered me, disturbed me, or angered me. And I can look back to my life, and there were a lot of people who bothered me. You know, I had afraid of them, a lot of it because I thought they were probably better than me, or they didn't like me, and it was out of fear of not being good enough. And my whole life, I still remember not getting picked for that summer camp all-star team, those asshole counselors, you know. If I could still remember it when I was 50, it must have affected me. And then when I did my inventory, I realized that I probably wasn't good enough. And the guy they picked was better. And the only person that was bothered by not me being on the team was me. Nobody changed the way they felt about me. They didn't announce at the morning, you know, when you get together at camp, you get together in the morning, that Michael Hurwitz is a loser because he wasn't on the team. Let's all stand up and laugh at him. They didn't do that. You know, it was all in my mind. Anybody relate this to your alcoholism? And so they weren't bad. I looked at it wrong. And then they do the second column. And when it's not really these people who made me mad. It's what they did. And a lot of times, what they did isn't even true when you actually work a four-step with people. Some of my resentments were how I thought people felt about me, because I was very good at knowing what people were thinking. And it's kind of funny when we talk about it and I talk out loud, you know, they should lock us up, but you know, we are pretty crazy people. And I could tell who didn't like me, and then I had to get angry at them because I knew they didn't like me. And you know, there you go. And now we come to the third column. Now this is where we're spending a lot of time. Greg's not here today, but he talked about how this really helped him a lot. In the big book, in the 12 and 12, they talk about these instincts of life. It's not in the big book, but it's in the 12 and 12 under step 3. And those instincts are God-given, and there's nothing wrong with them. We have to have social instincts or we wouldn't have survived the mastodons, right? We had to get together, we had to have some leadership, we had to have some way of living together. Our security instincts, we need a house, we need a place to live. Our sex instincts, we wouldn't have any more people. These desires are very important. You cannot have a resentment, though, unless one of these basic instincts has been affected. Why? I wrote, because I have determined what I need to meet my instincts. Did anybody else do that? If you have a job, you have expectations, how it should go, right? You know, how much money you need. Anybody have enough money? When we think we have enough, we're still worried we may need a little more, right? Whenever the Fidelity guy calls me, he says, well, you may run out when you're 95. I said, great. Great, I'm not going to be living in this big house when I'm 95. But you know how it is. You're never going to have enough. I still like the Sandy Beach story. He says at the meeting, okay, tonight when we leave in an hour, everybody's going to get a call that they won the lottery. And I guarantee you by 6 in the morning, you're going to be upset because you're going to worry about the taxes. Everybody's going to call you. They're going to want part of the money. You're wondering about you're not getting as much as you thought. Then who are you going to spend it? Blah, blah, blah. You go from being content, at peace in the world, you win the lottery, 6 a.m., alcoholics are disturbed. What am I going to do with it? They're going to charge me so much to invest it, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if that's true for you, but I could see it happening to me. It says in the third column, we look at the basic instincts that are affected. Now, you can do this all day when you get upset. But after a while, you know what's going on. You know you're threatened because you're looking at the world trying to meet your instincts. So when you start getting judging or fearful, you know you're just doing it again. So for me, I don't want to spend a lot of time being disturbed. I just say, put God back in the center, Michael, and play the role he assigns, and let's get over my negative feelings with his help. I don't want to waste any more time being threatened. And we look at the importance of a complete step three. And Gary always talks about our complete surrender, completely abandon ourselves to God. And it depends, our commitment to doing this depends on our commitment to step three. And so we have to understand the instincts of life and how if I'm managing my life and directing, I'm going to be threatened versus God. So when we say our problem is selfishness, self-centeredness, that's the root of our problem. The root of our problem is that I am running my world to satisfy my instincts the way I want. And remember we talked about for fear we have to write everywhere, what I want doesn't matter. Anybody believe that? Yeah, but it's hard to practice that, right? We all say, oh yeah, what I want doesn't matter. Then you go to work and you know this one did that, then you're upset. So when people talk about turning over and taking it back, especially on a new people, we don't really turn over and take back. We look at where we are putting ourselves in the center and we want to replace it with God. And we're never always there. So we're looking all day at where we're moving self and putting God in the center. Now we see why we're angry. The other thing is people who are new want to tell me how great they're doing all the time. Nothing bothers them. You know, they're doing great. They've got the fear handled. They've got anger handled. Well, in AA, that's not our goal. Our goal is to be able to admit, gee, I was wrong this morning. I was bothered. And I talked to God and I got back out of the center. Or I was fearful. We want to recognize our wrongs. And the more we change, the more we trust God. And then the more we practice the opposite. It says most people have a problem with anger. Anybody here ever get angry? But you know, anybody angry at me right now? Could be one. I'll look around, I'll figure it out, because you know I can tell. I can read people's minds. You know, somebody gets up and leaves after 20 minutes. I go, well, they didn't like me. Gee, I'm doing a terrible job and this and that. Well, they could have gotten a call that somebody had a heart attack. You know, and they're headed to the hospital, but I know it's all about me. Anybody else the center of the world? Anybody else? I'm the only one. There you go. I laugh at myself. That's the purpose of the steps, is that we don't take ourselves too seriously. So sometimes we say, I'm going to quit being angry. We can't do that because anger is a natural response. But here's what I've learned. I do not have to stay angry. I still remember our famous Wednesday night meeting with the pounding on the table by one of our members that he never gets angry. And I've had enough of this. And he walked out. And anger is normal, but it's a choice. We're going to cover Dr. Paul's story on Sunday night, but he wrote a book, Anger is a Choice, and I've read that several times, and I gave my copy away, but you can order it on Amazon. And it's a really good book, and he makes the point that we don't have to stay angry. We can be upset by things, but then it's a choice if we hold on to it. So resentment is where I get the negative emotion, but then I hold on to it. And I give myself about 10 seconds now. I used to give myself 2 minutes, but I don't want to waste that long. And sometimes I do go more than 10 seconds and I have to call Mark. I go 20 seconds, 30 seconds. But we don't want to do it anymore. So here's what it says. Your response to things that happen is based on your spiritual fitness. When I'm spiritually fit, people could do just about anything you want to threaten one of my instincts and it won't bother me. Why? Because we see them as people who are perhaps spiritually ill like us. We say to God, this situation's going on. How do I react to it in a positive way? He says if we're to live, we had to be free of anger. Anybody want that? Now, on page 66 and 67 are the three paragraphs that tell us how to be free of anger. And I've gone through that about 18 trillion times. And the four prayers, and there are several podcasts on Freedom from Anger, page 66, 67, step 4. He doesn't go into that now. He's going to do it at the end of the handout. Often when we're angry about something that's not true. If you get to the truth of the situation, the truth will set you free. There's no way to know the truth about something and still be angry. So the truth is what we're searching for. The truth can be an elusive thing. And we want to have conscious contact with God, right? And I think the big book says God is truth, right? So if we're in conscious contact with God, then we're able to see truth through God's eyes. And they call that a spiritual mind. In, I think, 1 John, he describes that, and we talk about it in AA, as being in contact with God and seeing things through his eyes, not ours. He says, this is very good, that the degree of truth in my life determines the quality of my life. So if you're seeing things the way God is, you're not going to be angry and afraid and harming people. But when I'm living a life based on self-will, I have to spend all my time protecting my basic instincts. I never really realized, but I'm trying to protect them. My pride was one of my, and still is one of my biggest character defects, and my self-esteem based upon what others think of me. And I'm still, we still have these character defects, but I can recognize them now. This is where the anger, which is a lie, anger is wrong judgment. It's not true. It's wrong judgment. Fear is wrong belief. Now, wrong judgment is anger is in the past. Something happened. And fear is wrong belief in the future. So alcoholics either live in the future being afraid or in the past being angry. So they spend their whole day separated from God and they're not in the now. Now, where does it say we find God? May you find him where? Now. So being in the now is the whole point of the program. And being in the now where God is in the center of that circle, not me. So all day long, we were moving in and out of the now. And we're moving in and out of that self versus God. So the program isn't very complicated. It's just once you understand what you need to do and the directions, then you do follow the directions all day and your life change. In the 12 and 12, Bill Wilson calls the root of all human problems is protecting our instinct. He says these basic instincts, which are God-given and necessarily finally far exceed their proper function. So we're exceeding the proper function of our material, social, sex instincts. When we look at the damage of the past, the damage of living our lives based on self-will, and that's what we're doing in step 4. And then I wrote, whatever threatens my instincts becomes my higher power. So when I'm threatened and I feel somebody's threatening me, they become my higher power. And they may not even be in the room. Anybody do that? We give people power over us. And we make a choice to do that. And it's not a good choice. Now they talk about the spiritual malady. We've talked about that. Notice we're not talking about alcohol anymore. How does alcohol relate to what we talked about? When we're in running the world and we're self in the center and we're satisfying all our instincts of life, guess what? Things don't go like we want. And we may get irritable, restless, and discontent. And we may seek the ease and comfort of alcohol. So now, when we have irritable, restless, and discontent, we know we need to replace me with God, and I don't need to drink anymore. Alcohol does not have to be the solution to this. And let me tell you, the God solution works a lot better than the alcohol solution. Anybody else think that? Absolutely. And the more you learn that the God solution is better than the alcohol solution, when you're bothered, you go right to God. You don't even think about alcohol anymore. And so it says, when you're spiritually ill, God can't work in that person's life. That person has effectively blocked himself or herself from God. See, I can't blame the people on the list. It's me. I've blocked myself from God. And he says God is blocked out, but I think it's God's blocked in, remember? Because we're going to study in the chapter of the agnostics, and the scripture talks about this. God's inside of all of us, but it's blocked out. We block it out by what? Calamity, pomp, worship of other things, right? And it's inside of us. Remember the St. Francis prayer? Anybody like it? It starts, make me a channel of your peace. We want to not be a barrier to the God inside of me, so I can demonstrate through me what he can do. Remember it says that in the big book? So that's why I talk about love, patience, tolerance, kindness, considerate, compassion. That's what God is. When I bring that into my affairs, I'm bringing God into the situation. When I bring anger or fear or selfishness or dishonesty, I'm bringing me. Which works better? Try it and see, right? So God's blocked in. When our basic instincts are deformed, when we're trying to live a life run on self-will over a period of time, we develop in our mind certain thoughts and responses that block God in. Joe and Charlie make the point that we practice a certain way and we get good at it. We practice our character defects. We get very good at being selfish and resentful and judgment and impatient and intolerant. We're very good at that. And we have to practice a different way, and we have to change the way our mind sees things and responds. And it says human beings work from the inside out, from spirit and mind to actions. And so we talk about all actions born in thought, right? And if our thought life is based upon me getting what I want, then my actions are going to reflect that. Now, if my thought life is based on what God, playing the role God assigns and staying close to him, then my thinking's going to be different and my actions are going to be different. So what we have to do is change our personality based on God, not me. And I'll bring some more of those spiritual checklists, but you've all seen them, the left and right hand side. And that's all we're talking about. A person who is spiritually sick has blocked God in. Now the problem with all of us is that we live in a world where there are a lot of spiritually ill people all the time. And they're gonna bother us and affect us. And we learn now from the prayers in 66, 67 that that's just who they are. I don't have to be disturbed by someone who's spiritually ill. I have to practice love, patience, and tolerance towards them. And guess what? They're going to need to do it to me too. And we made a decision, step three, to place God in the center of our lives. Anybody think that's a good idea? But we can't use him until we get rid of the things in our minds and our actions and relationships with other people that block us from God. I don't think we can read that line or not. I have to get rid of these things, my mind, my actions, my relationships that block me from God. And steps 4 through 9 is the process of removing the wreckage of the past. Now, steps 4 through 9 don't get me a certificate that I'm perfect. It gets me the ability to practice step 10 every day, you see? And step 10 is where I practice steps 4 through 9 all day long. And then at night I inventory how well I did and I ask God to forgive me. And in the morning I wake up and say, God, don't let me practice my character defects today. Direct my life, divorce my thinking from selfish, dishonest, self-centered things. Then I go on the day and we have these instructions in step 10. So AA's 12 steps is a way to live every day and try to develop different thinking and responses to life. Does anybody think it works better? It works better, doesn't it? Living to satisfy your basic instincts produces resentments. Your material and emotional security always feel threatened. You're always afraid. Anybody have a lot of fear when you come in here? Remember the first day you came in the AA room? Anybody afraid? Yeah. Fear was our way of life. We were always threatened. And if you're living, and you can have them today. It's okay to have it today, but you don't want to stay with your fear. So you say, when I get afraid, I say, well, this is something that hasn't happened yet. It's in the future. It's stupid, Michael. You spend enough time being afraid. Stop it. And I say, God, remove my fear, direct my attention to how I should be. Well, be in the now. Do what God has in front of you right now and stop it, Michael. If it gets bad, you can use your God box. If you're living with these fears, you're going to hurt a lot of people. Why? Because you're trying to fix the fear. Anybody do that? Do that at work, in relationships? You don't even realize you're doing it. You're afraid of something happening, so you're manipulating things so it won't happen, and you're hurting people, and you're running the show, and then they retaliate, and then you get angry at them. So that's why it says fear sets the ball rolling, right? So obviously, if you're living a life based on your basic instincts only, you're always going to be in conflict with God, with yourself, and with other people. We talk about that a lot. So we want to put our lives in order with God by making the decision, and with ourselves by doing the inventory in 4 and 5, and then with 6 and 7, our asking God to remove our character defects, and then in the world in 8 and 9 by making amends. We can be ill physically, mentally, and spiritually. The big book says that if we get well spiritually, we recover physically and mentally. So we're going to get well from the inside out. Now, what people don't understand is this process of 4 through 9 is looking at the outside and analyzing it back into the inside. And then we see what needs to be changed on the inside, and then the outside doesn't matter anymore. Isn't that something? So we get well from the inside out. Now, how do you get well spiritually? In the big book, it says you want to react to things. When you're in fit spiritual condition, you react differently. Now, reacting, we don't have meetings on reacting. But reacting is really my problem. If I react and I'm running the world, I react differently than I do when I've made God the center of my world. In other words, when I get in the line at the supermarket and the guy, it says 12 items or less, and the guy had 25 items, because I count them, because I'm an alcoholic. And I said to Patty, he's got 25 items, and then I just said, well, you know, that's okay, and I went to the other aisle. But you see how it works?
Yeah.
In step 3, so you can react differently. I said, why should I get upset? Because the guy has 25 items and he's going in the 12 or less. I'll just go to aisle number 3. Now, I could have gotten upset if I really wanted to be, and it's stupid. Now, in the past, I might even have said something to him. Anybody ever do that? You got 25 items. There's something wrong with you. No, I just went to the other aisle. But I said, gee, I'm getting better. Do you see how alcoholics can pole vault over mouse turds? Yeah, I mean, it could be like going to the grocery store and somebody in front of you has too many items. And people drink over that. We're all laughing. But people can get really upset about that. Maybe I'm the only one, but you would have been proud of me. I just said, well, he's getting what he needs, and I went to aisle number 3. The sponsor made a decision in step 3 that God, not his basic instincts, direct his or his life. Now, that's a point that we don't... Well, I don't want my ambitions to drive my life. I want God's ambitions for me to drive my life. I don't want my ambitions for material instincts to drive my life. I want God's... God's plan for me to satisfy my instincts of life. And so it takes a while, it takes your lifetime to get in sync with God, and some days we do it better than others. Now, how do you know when your instincts of life aren't with God? Well, you're afraid, right? You're running self. Now, you might be worried about money, right? And you might be afraid you don't have enough money. So then you pray to God and he says, get a job. You know, be a better employer. Get some more education. Find out what other opportunities are for you. But if for the moment, just do the best you're doing right now. You see, there's a lot of ways to look at these things. He says in step four, for the first time, the person can actually look at his thinking, get a picture of it. It's not pretty. It's not supposed to be pretty. And he's been going through so many problems in life. He's been driven so hard by his instincts for economic security and social needs that he's been living in reaction to this person and that. Now, remember Bill W. talked about, I'm going to be a success. Remember, the drive for success was on. We all have that because why? We don't feel good enough just being me. And I have to be a certain way to think other people will think good of me. Once I do that, they become my higher power. He's driven by self-will, yet he really doesn't have an identity. It's true, we're reacting to so many things all day long that we're really, they're running our show. Remember, it's driven by 100 forms of fear, self-pity, self-seeking. People we're like ping pong balls all day long. And we're running around, reacting to everything. And it's exhausting. Anybody said it was exhausting? Now it says we pause when we're agitated or doubtful. We ask God for the next thought or action. It says why? Because we don't want to waste energy foolishly like we've been running the show, right? I mean, we're like ping pong balls reacting to everything. And it says you begin to know yourself. I'll do one more paragraph. So once the sponsor has listed the three basic instincts, he has three columns. And then they give the instructions on page 67 to look at the first three columns. Now, before we do that, we're not going to do that today. In the big book, it says we look at the three columns from a different angle. It's the key to our future, right? We want to see that the people who perhaps wronged us, either imagined or real, were perhaps spiritually ill. And we say, God, we ask God to give me love, patience, and tolerance for whoever I'm angry at. How can I be helpful to them? God, save me from being angry. God, give me a kind and tolerant view of them. Now, if you do that, you have a changed attitude. And that's how you process the forgiveness of yourself and them. So then on the fourth column, it says putting out of the wrongs they had done. And you do that by the prayers. Once you've done the prayers, you have a different attitude towards them. Then you look for our own mistakes. And I'm going to stop there. And the mistakes is, what did I actually do, that may have caused this resentment? And then, where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, inconsiderate, or afraid? And there could be two parts. Well, I screamed and yelled at that one. So that's why they're mad at me. But then it's because I was afraid of them, you see, and they were threatening me. So the fourth column is where you get the information about what you need to change. Was any of this helpful? Yeah. It's good stuff, isn't it? This is really good, so I suggest take it home, study it, read the whole thing this week, and then next week, hopefully, we'll finish it up. So I wanted to leave some time. Thank you, guys.